come to you this morning praising you that we're past the judgment this week. And Lord, we see you. We see you coming in the clouds. We know every eye will see you, even them who pierced you. Look for that day when you will come again, make things right. You will take back your creation and rule it in righteousness. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the hope that you're giving us all through this book. We just pray for those who are alive today that they will come to know the truth of Jesus Christ and who he is too late. Father, we just ask you to teach us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So what is this lesson about? It's about the day of the Lord. It's about in that day. Precious lady over here said, unless we had taken Revelation, opened these lessons and just seen what's going on. And that's why this method is so important. Chew the Word of God, because you see the same terminology. You see in that day, and 90% of the time it's talking about before the second coming, a time of judgment. Thing. It is coming, and it is different than any other judgment that has ever happened, because it is a day like has never been before on the face of the earth and never shall be again. Today we are going to look at that, and we're going to look at it from two perspectives. We're going to look at it from Isaiah's time and his prophecy that the Lord showed him. We're going to check up on both of them and see how it ends at the end of the book of Revelation. And guess what? I'm going to let you cheat. It's the same thing. It doesn't change. It's God's perfect plan. And even though it's going to happen thousands of years in the front, I mean at the end of time, in the future, author, it's the same plan. He's bringing it to pass for his reason. So as we study today, let's look at that as a whole. Okay? In Isaiah 24, I'm going to start by going through the chapters, and then we're going to look at the homework. Get out your observation worksheets on Isaiah 24 and 25. Isaiah 24 through 27, deliverance of Israel in the day of the Lord. That's what these chapters are talking about. Different aspects of it. And so today we're going to start with chapter 24. The Lord will again destroy the earth and his enemies. Destroy. That's judgment. It's judgment for sin. And we've seen before that this is why he's coming back again. To win his creation back and set up his rightful rule and reign on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. And that's what we're looking at. It's a period of time. It's not just one day. A period of time. And it's a very short period of time. Day. Behold, the Lord lays the earth waste, states its what? Surface. Surface. It's going to all disappear. Distort, devastate, and lay waste the surface and scatter its inhabitants. It will be like the priest, the servant like his master, the maid like her mistress, the buyer like the seller, the lender like the borrower, the creditor like the debtor. They're all going to be equal. It's over anybody else. Respecter of persons. You can't rely in that day on any office that you hold. Rely on it because you're the best artist in the world, or the best singer in the world, or the best writer in the world. Oh, look at me, what I did. That's not the priority. Completely laid waste and completely despoiled, for the Lord has spoken this word, and it shall be. Mourns, what the earth mourns and withers. This is talking about creation. Mourns and withers. The world fades away and withers. The exalted people of the earth fade away. Done the exalting there. they have exalted people. Believers have humbled themselves under the mighty hand of God. That's not believers. So polluted by its inhabitants. I want you to read this, and I want you to in yourself at home, and you're getting all this information from the news, and you're actually paying attention to what is going on all aspects of life on this planet right now. Those to recognize the signs of the times. Jesus said so. The earth is also polluted by its inhabitants, for they transgressed the laws, did statutes, broke the everlasting covenant, and the everlasting covenant is the Noahic covenant. Conditional covenant that God made to Noah, never again destroy the earth by a flood. And we'll look at that when we get to the homework. So yes, the homework does reflect the lesson. A curse devours the earth. Begin in Eden. Those who live in it are held guilty. Adam and Eve were told to take care of it. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned. So how is he going to judge the world again? By fire, not by water. And few men are left. Mourns, the vine decays, all the merry-hearted sigh, the gaiety of the tambourine ceases, and everything stops. One is celebrating, aren't they? World. They're not paying attention to anything having to do with righteousness. Whether it's the rule of law or whether it's anything that most of us were brought up. You know? Not doing anything. Is that better? Up there. Better? All right, so this is what's going on in the world today. And the thing about it is that we all know it because we've got the technology that's going to tell us. As Daniel said, knowledge shall increase. So the world now is all connected. There's a thing called the internet, vision, planes, you name it. What happened to all of that? The gaiety of the earth is banished. Here, a period of dire problems in every corner. What did we see when we looked into the homework and did the homework? Where did we see this? We saw it in the seals, trumpets, and bowls in the book of Revelation, didn't we? Is it being judged because of sin? Because of sin. Desolation is left in the city. Now, is this a city or is this a system? And the gate is battered to ruins. For thus it will be in the midst of the earth among the people. Of an olive tree as the gleanings when the grape harvest is over. God is going to shake the world as a farmer shakes his olive tree in order to gather the fruit and take it away. And he is going to do a thorough job. They shout for joy. They cry from the west concerning the majesty of the Lord. Do you see a change there? Well, you're good. Because verses 14, 15, and 16, what comes at the end of this judgment? It's their voices. They shout for joy. They cry from the west concerning what? The majesty of the Lord. Or glorify the Lord in the east. Name of the Lord, the God of Israel. In the coastlands of the sea, from the ends of the earth, we hear glory to the righteous one, believing remnant of the earth. We're not in that judgment. They were in it, some of them. At the end, the ones that one that Israel was looking for all down through the centuries, veil was partially put over their eyes, according to Romans 11:5. With clouds. Everyone sees him, even those who pierced him. That is a quote from Zechariah 12:10. And mourn, and that mourn means repent. This God brings his nation, his people, the remnant of his people, when they see him and see his nail-scarred hands, and all of a sudden they realize we killed our Messiah. They know his name is Jesus. Repent, and they come back. Isaiah hope that the people to whom his message was being proclaimed to the people, they were a perverse generation. Three-letter word. But I say, now here's Isaiah talking. Woe to me, woe to me, alas for me. The treacherous deal treacherously, and the treacherous deal very treacherously. Terror and pit and snare confront you, O inhabitant of the earth. Who are the inhabitants of the earth? Those who dwell on the earth, they're not believers. Those are the unbelievers. And what does it say? Woe. And that's not a command to a horse. Woe. It's a W-O-E, woe, which means bad things. Judgment. From who? Well, turn back to verse 1. From the Lord. Just, you know, in the upper Midwest is causing floods down the Mississippi River and causing total devastation in some of those places right now. This one is coming straight from the Lord. That is just a result of sin. This is a different kind of judgment than really happens. That, woe to me, woe to me, alas for me, the treacherous deal treacherously, and the treacherous deal very treacherously. Terror and a pit and a snare confront you, O inhabitant of the earth. Which is an expression of time. That he who flees the report of disaster will fall into the pit. And he who climbs out of the pit will be caught in the snare. You see, there's no escape. The eye of the Lord. When he comes in judgment, he looks at the heart and he knows everything. You cannot hide anything from him. You cannot rely on your, and the you here is collective. I'm not looking at you lovely, lovely ladies in this class. To hide from the Lord, omniscient in that day, is going to save anyone. Faith who can save. That's Jesus Christ. Heavens above are open and the foundation of the earth shake. Sort of reminds you of how the flood happened when the heaven was open and all the, you know, came up. And the rain came down and the flood came up. You sang that song a long time ago. It's broken asunder. The earth is split through. The earth is shaken violently. The earth reels to and fro like a drunkard. It totters like a shack. Where have we seen this? Trumpet, seals, and bowls, didn't we? So, when we studied Genesis and during the flood, from God, the answers of some of your homework, unless you didn't recognize it. Be happen. So it will happen in that day. Now remember, that is a day that is different from any other. The host of heaven on high and the kings of the earth on earth. Well, what on earth does that mean? Revelation 12, didn't you? Satan and his angels were cast down to earth. That was the second casting down that was mentioned in Revelation chapter 12. During the tribulation. That. This in Isaiah is mirroring exactly what we're going to see when we turn over to the last book of the Bible. When we turn over to Peter's epistles. Over to some of Paul's. When we turn over to John, to Luke, to Mark, to Matthew. Years later, 2,500 years later than when Isaiah wrote the Bible, has this message of who he is and what is coming, the Word, to recognize that. He hasn't changed his mind. Right the first time. It would mean, well, I didn't get that quite right. I think I'll try this time. He doesn't do that. He is perfect. He is the Lord God Almighty. That after this terrible judgment, something exciting happens. They will be gathered together like prisoners in a dungeon, and will be confined in prison, and after many days they will be punished. He's going to judge the heavens and the earth. And if you have read Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3, you see what happens to Satan at the end of this tribulation. He and his demons are chained, locked in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Telling here in Isaiah, then the moon will be abashed and the sun ashamed. The moon will go dark and the sun will go dark. The heavens, signs in the earth, 24. Hosts will reign on Mount Zion in Jerusalem, and his glory will be before his elders. Coming to do, fill the Davidic covenant, sit on his throne, and rule and reign over his creation, like he was going to do until he allowed Satan. And I can't get into the who's and the where's and the why's of all that, and nobody can. So it climaxes, the day of the Lord climaxes millennial reign of Christ on the earth. Lord of hosts reigns on Mount Zion in Jerusalem, and his glory will be before his elders. It is immediately happens after the destruction of God's enemies, the restoration of God's people Israel in the land. If the Lord is mentioned in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, and Revelation 6 through 19, day of the Lord. He has his reasons for doing it, and it's judgment, and it results in his glory returning. Chapter 25. Chapter 25 is a song of praise to the Lord from the believing remnant, preserved during the day of the Lord. How God has protected his people in various ways. Now that's important. God protected his people in the flood, built the ark, Noah, his wife, and his three sons and their wives into the ark, and God closed the door. They were kept safe above the judgment of the earth. Rescued Lot and his family out of Sodom before he, with the microburst of fire and brimstone. His people in Jericho was defeated. Ab. And guess who she was? The grandmother of the Gentile convert. Saved David, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and a remnant. When the Babylonians came in, he did not let the Babylonians totally destroy the southern kingdom as he let the Assyrians do with the northern kingdom. Why? The tribe of Judah, through which Messiah is coming. Church. He who called us and will bring it to pass. Begun on Pentecost there in Acts chapters 1 and 2. Ages and all the persecution, particularly in the Protestant Reformation. I've just finished reading the book of William Tyndale. Into that right now, but a glorious book. His translation of the New Testament did us. Ladies, you would think you were reading the King James Version or the New American Standard. Those are the two examples that this writer used to show how faithful to the Greek translation. And the New Testament, remember, was written in Koine Greek. It was exciting. Did his church. He has kept his remnant of faithful believers, Jewish believers, will protect the remnant all the way through until the tribulation period is over and he comes again to end it, up his kingdom. And we're going to look at that as we go through the homework. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name, for you have worked wonders. Plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. That is a covenantal term. Always honor his covenants. You have made a city into a heap, fortified city into a ruin, a place of strangers, a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Babylon in Iraq, It's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about in that day. So he's talking about end times here. Where did you see that in the homework? You saw it in Revelation 17 and 18. At the end, when the whole world system is obliterated, the Antichrist, given the power straight from Satan. Revelation 13. World system. Therefore, strong people will glorify you. Strong. They're strong in the Lord. Cities of ruthless nations will rever you. Interesting that he talks about nations here, because who are the nations? Gentiles. These kept a remnant of the Gentile nations. A defense for the helpless. Worldwide remnant at the end of all of this survived trumpets and bowls that we'll get into very quickly. A defense for the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat. This is the worldwide remnant, Jew and Gentile, all survivors of the tribulation period, and they are also the sheep nations in Matthew 25, in the judgment of the nations, where he tells the goats into eternal punishment, and then he turns to the goats and he says, because you have done all of these things and you are blessed of my Father, enter the kingdom alive. It's in verse 4. For the breath of ruthless is like the rainstorm against a wall. What happens? It stops it. And it all falls down. Like heat in a drought. Well, the heat caused the drought. The uproar of aliens. And who are the aliens from heaven? Those who dwell on the earth. Heat by the shadow of the cloud. The song of the ruthless is silenced. These judgments are directly from the Lord. The Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all people on this mountain. Now, where is the mountain? Jerusalem and Zion. Banquet of aged wine, choice pieces with marrow and redefined aged wine. What if they just gone through a terrible period of famine and death and judgment? Terrible things going on. But when you enter his kingdom and you're in his righteousness and in his presence, changes. He makes it whole. He makes it beautiful. And he will swallow up the covering which is over all people. Death, but it's also the veil. Israel, Messiah, covering. Partial hardening. Romans 11, verse 25. The veil which is stretched over all nations. This is the remnant. Alive at this point and are believers and have eternal life, and they have survived the tribulation. They're also the sheep nations of Matthew 25. They are also the ones in Revelation 1:7 and Zechariah 12:10. Every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him and mourn. This is the bringing back of Israel, believing remnant from Israel. The Jews saw a feast when Messiah would rule over the nations of the world in the kingdom age in Jerusalem. And they did not understand the first coming as a nation. This time they will realize their sin and what they did. He will swallow up death for all time. Now, does it say it's going to do it right then? No. Death for all time, and the Lord God will wipe tears away from his face. Where have we seen that? Revelation in the new heavens and the new earth. He'll remove the reproach of his people from all the earth. Remove the reproach of his people. The curse of sin and death at this point. For the Lord has spoken, and it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. That's what Israel says when they look on him who they pierced coming. When he comes into Jerusalem, stands on the Mount of Olives in Zechariah 14. Lord, for whom we have waited, let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. It's another turning point. And tells you what happened to the rest team. Lord will rest on this mountain, Zion, and Moab will be trodden down in his place. as straw it is trodden down in the water of a manure pile. I mean, it's really going to be kind of bad for them. These represent all of the nations who were the enemies of Israel. And if you're enemies of Israel, the Lord is his people. This is why we need to stand by Israel. Pray for the peace in Jerusalem. A choice, we're told to do it. Us who know the Lord want it to happen. Judgment is going to fall on all those who have not believed. These are the unbelievers. These are the goat nations of Matthew 25. And they're cast into either Hades or the lake of fire. I don't know which. They're all. That's the end. Hades will be raised dead, but alive in the body, but dead spiritually at the great white throne judgment and judged according to what is in the books. So it doesn't matter. You die without the Lord, that's it. See that death is going to be swallowed up in victory. Wipe away the tears. He will remove the reproach from the people of the earth. No more curse. And at this point, those who did not know Christ at that point, sent for eternal judgment, believers are going to enter the kingdom age alive. Now we know from our study of Revelation that when he comes in chapter 19, the church is with him. The Old Testament saints' bodies have been raised. They're glorified. The tribulation saints have all been raised. Those who died, they're all glorified. And that whole mass of the redeemed of all ages are coming back with him in 19. White horses in white suits coming back to judge the earth. Now, okay, so we've seen that. So let's look now as we see in the New Testament and see how it's viewed there. And I've already pointed out how they mesh in Isaiah. Revelation chapter 6, from 6 to through 18, that there is going to be this time in history of the world, a time such as never been before on the face of the earth, nor ever will be again, and it is called the 7-year tribulation period. It is referred to in Scripture as the day of the Lord, and the time of Jacob's trouble. It is also the 70th week of Daniel from chapter 9 of Daniel. Gabriel comes to Daniel to answer his question of how long are we going to be here in Babylon? He comes and says, 70 years have been determined for thy people, Daniel. It's the prophecy of the 70 years. Weeks. 70 weeks of Daniel. Only one of those weeks has not been fulfilled. Chapter 27. This tribulation is all about. These trumpets and bowls, we see that Jesus opens the seals and the angels pour out the bowls and blow the trumpets. He opens the seals. The first one is a white horse. Determined 2 years ago that that's the Antichrist. Oh, he has a crown is given to him, and he comes out conquering to conquer and to conquer. He has no bow. He has no arrow. This is going to be a political takeover, and that's how the Antichrist rises to power. And then in the middle of it, Satan gives this man his power. Most powerful angel God ever created. All evil. Horse. Now remember all of the description of what's going to happen during this judgment. Isaiah 24. The earth withers and all these things fall apart. The red horse is the rider on it. War. Black horse is in seal number 3. That's famine and the food shortage. You saw the trees withering. You saw all that stuff. All right. The pale horse, behold a pale horse. That sounds a little spooky, doesn't it? That's King James for you. Okay, and what follows him is death and Hades. Death. Earth is killed by pestilence. What's that, disease? And that sort of thing. Whew. All of a sudden in 5, you have a change. You have a change in elevation because suddenly you're in heaven and you hear the voices under that little golden altar of incense, which is the incense of prayer, throne of God. These are the martyrs of all the ages, and they are crying out to the Lord saying, "How long, O Lord, will you avenge us?" Or not, when all of this judgment is over, guess what you see? Little golden altar again. The proclamation from heaven, it is finished. So he answers his questions all through Revelation. Where? At that little golden altar. Right before he comes into the earth and to make it all perfect again. In the seventh seal, when the seventh seal was broken, what comes out? The seven trumpets. What comes out of the seventh trumpet? The seven bowls. And then it's finished. Seal is open. You've got chapter 7. How does he make provision on the face of this earth for his message of salvation? His emphasis on bringing Israel back to himself. The angel stands there, holds back the four winds of the earth. Do not hurt the earth. 44,000 are sealed, and they're all Jewish. Those names together. And it explains exactly what's happening. That the Lord is coming to redeem Israel. If people will like that, I'll send that to you. Would you like that? Send it to you. The rest of you should have it. Okay. So, God has made his provision and it's all ready. And then, all of a sudden, angel, the seventh seal is open. You have lightning, thunder, a huge earthquake, and every time God is about to speak and move, there is an earthquake. It's showing the power of God. Remember what happened on Mount Sinai? What he's still doing. He's speaking, and the earth thunders and shakes, and out come the seven trumpets. One, the third of the earth is burned up, and that is the trees and the green grass. Now look at all the parts of the earth and what is going to happen. And what this would cause, if all the green things and the green grass and the trees, that's going to affect your air quality, it's going to affect your food supply. Angel is really going to blow a trumpet? I don't know, he may. Of this time and these orders came from the Lord. These angels were handed the trumpet, fire into the sea. And falls into the sea and becomes blood. That signals poison. The sea creatures died. A third of them and a third of the ships were destroyed. Have you paid any attention to what's happening in the sea now with the plastic? Yeah. Garbage and everything that's dumped in it from everything. And somebody just woke up and paid attention. They've caused them to do it. Third trumpet is blown on a star. Fell from heaven, and it was called wormwood. That's poison. A third of the rivers and springs were poison, and men die. They're contaminated. Has drying up. Got that going on worldwide? Number four, a third of the sun, moon, and stars were struck, and no light. Heard of it. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Say that word again. A horse involved. Oh. And the last blast of the trumpets, number 5, 6, and 7, are the woes. That means they're bad enough to be and set apart. The fifth trumpet blows, and the star falls from heaven and has the key to the pit. As Abaddon and Apollyon swarm out. Now, the account of them in Revelation calls them locusts, but they're no real locusts. You look at what they eat and what they do, the green things. Those are not. But when they swarm over in that part of the world, it's dark. And they consume everything. And an army from the east in the river Euphrates. Release them. These are not good angels. The demons are bound in the Euphrates and is killed. And their reaction was, they did not repent. They didn't turn to the one who could save them. Hearts were so evil and so hard, like Pharaoh, God turned them over. And they did not repent. And then the seventh trumpet is blown, and out come the seven bowls, and the pronouncement is, your wrath came. Now, it's all wrath. It's all from the Lord. Everything you saw up to this point is wrath. Judgment from the Lord. But here it intensifies because of who's involved now. The Antichrist has now been given satanic power, the dragon's power. Whole earth changes. Total and depravity. The first bowl poured out on the earth is malignant sores on all who had taken the mark of the beast, number 666. That's Revelation 13. That's at the middle of this 7-year period. And number 2 is poured out in the sea, and everything in the sea died. And if you look at your list across here, and you made the list of what happens, the second trumpet had to do with the sea. The second bowl has to do with the sea. The third bowl is poured out on the rivers and fresh water, and they became blood. Same thing happened to a lesser extent in the third trumpet. Fourth bowl was poured out on the sun, and it scorched men, and they blasphemed God, and they did not repent. Do you see how evil is evil, and it's going down? These are those who dwell on the earth. In the church mentioned, you have not seen the remnant mentioned. They're not part of this. I mean, they may be affected, and they will be affected by it. And some of them will die for their faith. They're the martyrs. They've joined the crowd under the altar. How long before you... bowl is poured out on the throne of the beast. It's darkened men, nor their tongues. They did not repent. Sort of sounds like Revelation 17 and 18, doesn't it? The whole system is judged. Mystery Babylon. Trumpet is poured out on the Euphrates. It dries up, and the kings of the east, the demons and so forth. The kings of the east, armies are coming. Battle that we all have heard about. Hey, Armageddon in the Valley of Megiddo. Other parts of Scripture tells you that the carnage will be so great that it's going to take them 2 years to burn everything. It calls the birds to come to that great supper of God. Be a white suit in the thing, though. Wrong feast. Is because the death, when God comes and speaks that word to all those in relying on their army to stop all of this stuff, they're gone. They're toast. Birds are going to have a feast that day. Well, guess what? A certain member of this class sent me a little notice in the mail yesterday. Photographer has noticed during the migration of the birds, over 500 million birds, Israel, on their trip to Africa during the cold, icy stuff up there, and then they turn around and they come back. And where do they come back over? The Hula Valley. Just a little lake north of the Sea of Galilee on the Jordan River. It's the only freshwater sources in Israel. They had been drying up. Seriously. God sent the rain recently, and those lakes, like Lake Lanier several years ago, rose by 6.5 feet. Make more green, fresh water for those birds to come. Another sign, I think, making things ready. And how is he doing it? Through nature. He's doing it every way that he chooses to. Exciting. Y'all might sit there and roll your eyes. I don't think you are, though. Let's look at something else. What methods does God use? 14 of the lesson. We're going to look at the everlasting covenant now and what it is. It is the Noahic covenant. In Genesis 6, it says, now on earth, the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with the violence. All flesh had corrupted their way. Said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I'm going to destroy them, the earth. What did he do? Told Noah ahead of time before he did something, didn't he? A friend of God. What does he call us, believers? Okay. looking for the first coming, and we're certainly not looking for another flood. What are we looking for? Of the earth and our bodies. Second coming. An ark of gopher wood, and you shall make the ark with rooms, and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. This is an exact version of what the Ark of the Covenant was, except for the covering. Wood, and it's a covering inside and out. Gold for the Ark of the Covenant. Here it's with pitch, because this is going to withstand the flood. 3 in 1. He is God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. 1. Promise is here. I'm going to raise you up above the judgment, my believers. See that? Where are the believers in the flood? They're safe. Under the mighty hand of God above the judgment. Window for the ark. And second and third decks and all like that. Before I am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh, and which is the breath of life from under heaven, everything that is on the earth shall perish. Okay? Why? Because it was all deceitfully wicked. But I will. There's no condition here, and there's nothing that mankind has to do. I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark, and your sons and your wife and your sons with you. God provide a way of escape. This is 9, the Noahic covenant says, now behold, I myself do establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. Guess what? We're all descended from and Mrs. Noah, living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, every beast of the earth with you, of all that comes out of the ark, even every beast of the earth, establish my covenant with you. Flesh shall never again be cut off by the water of the flood. And I'm going to set my sign in the heavens, and it, guess what? It's the rainbow. Every time you look at the rainbow, this was pointed out to me one time, and I just went, it's always, you're in the sunshine, there's the rainbow, the storm clouds are on the other side. Faithful God is speaking to your heart. You belong to me. And you are safe in my ark. Who is Jesus? Exciting? That's the sign of the everlasting God. In 2 Peter 3, know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come, and they're following after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all contended just as it was from the beginning of creation. Why? They don't have eyes to see and ears to hear. They're not saved. It's about, do you believe in the flood of Noah? Well, Peter did. There, notice that by the word of God, and the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water, and by water through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. Peter believed it. It was written by the Holy Spirit. He was not an editor at that point. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire. See the faithfulness of God? How he's going to destroy it this time. And kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Does it say anything about believers? Ooh. Do not let this one fact escape you. Your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. In other words, he lives in eternity. He's not bound by time like we are. It out when he does it. His word, by his word, the present heavens and the present earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape you, beloved. I just read that. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing any to perish, but for all come to repentance. Now you know why he's waiting. Going to happen, fullness of Gentiles comes in to the church, or will shut. We've already seen that. The Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away and a roar the elements and be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its work will be burned up. Peter 3, since these things are to be destroyed in this way, that's by fire, what sort of people ought you to be? Well, there's our message. In conduct, and in godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of the Lord, because of which heavens will be destroyed by burning and elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, believers, we are looking for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. We're not looking for that tribulation period. Why? Believe we don't have a part in it. For that, you're looking for righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved Paul, according to the wisdom given to you, he wrote, in that day is coming, be holy, and do and be all the things that you learn in the epistles. We have orders until that day comes. That's who we are to be. Of the Lord is the judgment of God on an unbelieving world. And is going to come in Revelation. And that chart we did on the seals, trumpets, and bowls, using whatever rod of judgment he's going to use, just exactly like he uses that rod of judgment in any way he has choosed, that we've seen in Ark, save Noah. He used a rod, Moses, as he cast it on the water, just as he pointed at that water, and the water parted. And Israel came out of Egypt to move Abraham and his family over to safety with Joseph in Egypt. Anything he wants. And can he do that? You bet he can. Created it by the word of his mouth. Limit the Lord. And we can't get too hung up in the symbols and pictures that he gives us of what's going to happen. Charge the Lord. So we're to examine ourselves to see we are in the faith. Why? We want to make sure that we get at the message of the gospel straight. It's not by works. It's by faith. To come to him, the only one who can forgive sin, because it's sin that's going to be judged. And now we are free from the penalty of sin. On page 116, ask if we saw a contrast in Isaiah 24:16, and I pointed that out to you in chapter 24, when it talks about all the judgment that's coming and all the blessing, all the judgment in 23 backwards, practically, and now in 24 you see a place of blessing, blessing. And all of a sudden, Isaiah turns around and pays attention to what's going on in front of him. And he sees the sin and the blindness of all the Jewish people around him. He weeps. He was going to be judged. Be unbelief. Such as one of come to me, not listen. Willful sin. He weeps for his people. Just like Jesus wept over Jerusalem right before he went to the cross. Yeah. 24:16, we see the glory in the previous verses plus the woe here. Isaiah sees the promised glory of God in that day and then looks at the sin and refusal to believe in his day. And that's what happened. He will again destroy and judge the earth. Where did we see that in the homework? We saw it in Revelation 6, 1 through 17. We saw it in 11 and 16, the seals, trumpets, and bowls in Revelation. Through that lesson on day 3, so we can slip right over page 17. Now, at the parts of Revelation that we need to talk about here, Isaiah 24, 21 through 23, so it will happen in that day that the Lord will punish the host of heaven on high and the kings of the earth on earth. And they will be gathered together like prisoners in the dungeon and will be confined in prison. Where is that? Hades. There. The ones in heaven you've seen, or I told you, that they're going to be chained in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. All planned and it's all perfect. And after many days they will be punished. The moon will be abashed and the sun ashamed, for the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. There's another sign in the heavens that Matthew 24 was talking about. The great and terrible day of the Lord, when he comes in judgment and with the word of his mouth fights the battle of Armageddon, then enters Jerusalem. Jews repent. Revelation 19, in verse 11. And then I saw heaven open. By the way, this just comes after account in the first part of 19, and that's marriage supper of the Lamb. That's the one where you get the white clothes. Understand that here in Revelation 19, heaven open, and behold a white horse. The church is with him and wages war. We've seen that. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, as opposed to the one you saw on the white horse in the first seal. That's a Stephanos laurel wreath at the Olympic Games. These are kingly crowns. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God of the Blood. That's what he's going to dip it in. Which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And who are they? Church and the believers of all ages up until that point. Every one of them. They're with him in white linen. They have received their rewards. And they are all in their glorified eternal bodies. From his mouth comes a sharp sword that with it he may strike down the nations. When is he going to do that? Battle of Armageddon. Rule them with a rod of iron. There's the rod. What is it? This is the truth. You're probably not going to need many judges that day, so I'm glad you're going to have a white robe anyway. The Lord is going to speak it.